Fear is a direction. If you can understand that fear is a direction, every time that you feel this nervousness of growing, of expanding, of partnering up with somebody, that nervousness, that nervous feeling is the direction to go. So if you're looking to get a mentor, take the next level of your life, experience fear because that's the direction.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to None of Your Business. It's another happy Monday and a super rainy Monday. One of the things that you got to think about when you move to this side of the country, Playa del Carmen, Mexico, and Quintana Roo area, is when the hurricane season comes rolling in somewhere between June, July, and August. There's going to be quite a time where it's going to be raining all day and you feel lazy to work and sometimes the power goes out. That was weird. So I'm actually in my makeshift studio, aka my friend's condo, and I literally brought out all of my podcast equipment here, and I was ready to text our awesome guest today to reschedule, but I'm like, I can't. This is, oh my God, I'm so excited to have this conversation. But first, let me give a quick intro. Our guest today, Andy, is a renowned small business marketing expert and the founder of Progreta. With a proven track record, he specializes in assisting small businesses in effectively marketing their high-ticket services through webinars. And those webinars have attracted around 10,000 entrepreneurs. So he has helped a lot of people, a lot of small business owners, really give them a seat at the table, which is awesome. His SaaS company has achieved a seven-figure run rate, and his guidance has empowered thousands of small businesses to create marketing campaigns that have collectively generated $20 million, over $20 million in revenue. So that's his business, and that's the awesome thing he's done for small businesses. But today, we're getting ready to know Andy Audate and his story and a really, really important part of his journey, which is how he was able to change his scarcity mindset. So let's welcome Andy. Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Carla, thank you so much for having me, man. I'm so excited, man. And you make that biography look so good. It sounds so good. I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. I'm super excited. You know, let me ask you one very important thing. I'm really curious about this. Did you grow up from a poor family?
Yeah, my family is immigrants from Haiti. And
oh,
so
wow.
when they came from Haiti, they took a lot of the learnings that they had in Haiti. And I learned so much, man, with my family. So I grew up in an environment with people who were from a third world country. And a lot of that stemmed inside of Andy.
I know. I mean, it would be awkward if you actually grew up in Hamptons, right? And like, let's just cancel this podcast.
That's right.
So, yeah, we would love to hear your story. So tell us a little bit more about your background and what inspired you to start a business.
Well, first and foremost, that my family coming from Haiti, the conversation was always about like save money, right? Mm-hmm. Save money, save money, save money. Mm-hmm. And I remember having scenarios of where, like, for example, when I would go to the restroom and we would do number one or number two. We all know what number one and number two is. And when you do number one, you don't flush, because it's the cost of water is so high to flush. But if you do number two, then you flush. And that was like one of the rules in my house, right?
Wow.
Shut off all the lights. Turn off, if you're not in the house, turn off the AC, turn off the heat.
Yeah.
You only need it when you're there. Shut off all the lights. And if you go number one, don't flush. If you go number two, that's the only time you flush. And you got to have a 5-minute shower.
Oh, wow.
5-minute shower, right? So this is the journey that I had growing up in my household, which was the norm. That was what was normal for so long. And then growing up, I knew I wanted to create some type of freedom in my life. So I started a business, and my business was a lemonade stand. So my lemonade stand, what I did is I went into my mom's fridge, grabbed the lemonade that was in the fridge for the house, went into the closet, grabbed the cups, went outside in front of the house, and I said, I'm selling lemonade for $1. And I would grab my mom's cups, my plastic cups, and pour the house lemonade and sell it for $1. Came back with an empty carton and, made a few bucks. But that's the journey of how Andy started creating freedom for himself.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. And it's such a classic story, like a lemonade stand. Yeah, but like you're right. And I totally can relate to that because I also grew up in a developing country, the Philippines. And my first small business was in my school. I was in third grade, and in my school, our classroom was on the fourth floor and we didn't have elevators. So I thought every recess was just like 20 minutes. Kids would run down the cafeteria to buy food. And I'm like, well, that's a lot of time, you know, little kids and their little steps. I'll just sell food here in my classroom. So I filled my bag with like snacks, and I would just sell snacks from my bag using my daily allowance. And I started with $1. That was my allowance, like $1 a day. And at the end of the night, whenever I come home from school, I would drop by like the convenience store and I would buy candy or some snacks. Whatever I could buy, the maximum I could buy with my dollar. And I just kind of kept it rolling. The next day I had $2. The next day I had $3. And I just kept it going. I used my initial capital of $1 to.
That's right. That's how you do it.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's almost like when people ask you now that you've achieved a lot in your life, people ask you like, what drove you to work hard and start a business? And you're like, poverty.
Yeah. That's a real thing. When you come from an impoverished area, like for me, and I was originally raised on the East Coast, smallest state in the country. So the whole state is 45 minutes from one end to the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then in that state, I was raised in the smallest city in that state.
Mm-hmm.
So it was 1 mile from one mile from the entry point to the exit point of the city. So you got a whole mile. So 45 minutes, it takes you to go around the entire state, and you can jog the whole entire city in 13 minutes.
Wow.
And go in and out of the city in 13 minutes, just running or jogging, right? However long it takes you to run a mile. And so I share that with you because one gas station, one high school, is like one of all the necessities, one CVS, right? So with all of that being said, this is where I was raised, and being around drug dealers, gangbangers, violence stricken area, my mindset was shifted. Like, hey, you're either going to be a product of your environment or you're going to get out of the environment and create something else.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And that's very, it's very hard to see beyond that because it's really the only life you know sometimes, right? Like when I first got out of the Philippines, just for a vacation, I was so surprised how expensive the rest of the world was, because all I knew was the Philippines, you know, where minimum wage at that time, this was 2016, at that time was like 200 bucks a month. And then the first country I visited was Australia. I went to Sydney, which is one of the most expensive cities in the world. And I was like, why is a piece of bread $3? Please explain this to me. This is like, you know, you can feed a family of five with this budget. So that was insane. So, you know, you grew up poor. You lived in a small town with like, you know, you just have there were certain like limits that the environment gave you. So I'm pretty sure at that time you guys and your family, you guys operated from like a scarcity mindset. But back then, I bet that wasn't, you know, that wasn't a thing. It was just how you thought. So when did you first learn about such a thing as a scarcity mindset as a term? And how different was that from realizing that you can also get rid of that or work on it?
So scarcity mindset didn't become a term for me until like I started reading these business books and starting to understand what scarcity was. To me,
right,
this was normal. Like, it's
right.
normal I remember different scenarios of like the oil, because we lived in an old house. The oil cost so much money to pay for it. So you got the heat. So we would use oil. We would burn oil, and that would be for the heat. And it would cost so much money. And I remember the conversation is like, we don't have the $900 of this quarter. Like every quarter, every 3 months, you're paying for $900 for the heat. And we don't have the $900 this quarter to pay for the heat. And I was like, man, this is the norm. And I remember nights where I would just go inside of and go to bed with the jacket that you would wear outside, right? The jacket, the pants, because you're like, hey, I don't want to freeze to death in the house. And that was, hey, that's normal. Hey, man, that's how you that's how you warm yourself up. Don't, don't trip. And it wasn't until I got a mentor, really, who started showing me the way, who started showing me what's possible. So my mentor, it's interesting, like what I looked up to at back then, because today I surpassed that today. But my mentor, I remember I was probably 17 years old. 17 years old, I started working for him, 17, 18. And then he was driving a Cadillac, 2005 Cadillac. And so this is today is 20 years old. The car is 20 years old. But I was like, man, you're driving a Cadillac. Now, driving a Cadillac, no matter if it's 10 years old, 20, like, no, driving a Cadillac, you're up. You're doing well. And I remember he was driving this Cadillac. And then it opened my eyes to what was possible. A black man with earrings driving a Cadillac. And I asked him, how did you do it? And he said, the way that I did it was I sold products. I'm like, what is sales? Well, talk to me, what is sales? Well, I own a business. That's for number one. And number two, I have a product and I sell that product. And that to me started opening my mind what was possible. I started working for him, and through grit and hustle, I became one of his top salespeople. And then I ended up partnering with him and opening up different businesses with him. And from there, that's when my education started to rocket of what success looks like. And then a couple years in, I made my first $1 million. I was 21 years old, made my first $1 million, and then I moved to the West Coast. Because the first thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to get, as soon as I started making some money, I wanted to like leave that environment. So I moved to the West Coast, lived in LA, and LA was a trip on when we think about scarcity mindset or how much things cost, your experience of what you did in the what you experienced in the Philippines, very similar to when I moved to LA. When I was on the East Coast, to rent an apartment was $600. That was normal, by the way. Like to rent an apartment, $600. That was the conversation. Maybe 800, maybe 900 if you got a nice one. 1200, you're balling. 1200, you're balling.
Penthouse.
I moved to LA, and it's like, welcome to LA. All right, this one you can live okay, $3,000 a month. And I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. 600. This can't be correct. And then that's when I started understanding, like, oh, to live an okay life where you want to live, it's gonna take some resources. And I've been living my life pretty much over the last 10 years, the last decade, really mastering how to maximize those resources and create revenue inside of my business, so that way I can live a lifestyle of freedom. Because Carla, I'm one of those people that in high school and in middle school, I don't want to be told what to do personally. Like I like freedom,
You're a little
and
rebel.
very much so. And I've taken that mindset my entire life, and I'm still going to adopt that I want that freedom. So if I want to live in a high rise in downtown Los Angeles, if it's $3,000 per month, I might not be able to afford it that day, but I'm going to afford it. Well, fortunately, in my case, I always focus on sales, and I was always being able to take care of my payment, take care of the bills, make the money, so on and so forth. But it all stems from this one understanding is create revenue. And that's what I learned from my mentor.
Well, I really love that story, and you're right. Like when you're forced to stare at a situation where you're like, oh, I'm here, things cost this much. There's really only two ways. You can like go back to where you come from, or you're gonna break some walls to make this shit happen, right? And you know, with people like you and me, it's like, no, there's a reason I left that place. Like, I love my country. I love visiting the Philippines. It's so beautiful, one of the nicest, friendliest people. But there's also some things in my environment that was just not very conducive for growth. And my husband now, he's American, he loves the Philippines, right? Like us going back to the Philippines is a different situation now, now that we have a little bit of money, right? So we're a little more spoiled. And he always keeps telling me, we need to just go to the Philippines because we can retire right now and we can live like kings and have a driver and a full-time maid and everything we want. But I told him, but there's a reason I left this place. And you got to understand that. And for me, you know, it's different for everyone, but for me, I just kept seeing all these limitations and I felt that I was more infinite elsewhere, you know. Doesn't mean I will not grow there. Of course, I'm a different person now, I'm wiser, but like when you really face a situation where you're like, I see growth in this environment, you're gonna do your best to end up there. And so I love that you had this great relationship with a mentor. I want to have a little bit of side bit on that. What is your, give us a quick advice on how to find an awesome mentor. Like, what did you do differently? I'm sure that million-dollar person with a Cadillac knows a lot of kids, but why do you think that he picked you?
Well, so first and foremost is persistence. I think that was the biggest driving factor in the relationship. So the product that he was selling, we were selling was cell phones, and he ran a business where he had, I think at the time that I met him, 10 stores, probably 40 employees at that time. Okay? So 10 stores, 40 employees, and I applied at majority of his stores, not knowing that it was his stores because it's a big company, T-Mobile, right? So he was running 10 of those locations, and not knowing that if I go to one location, I'm really applying under a dealer. I learned once I essentially got into the community. But I went to all many of his locations and I applied, not knowing that it was just his. But I the one nine of them declined me, one accepted me. But it's the same company. It's just the manager of the actual store is the one who makes a decision. So this the one manager said, "I'm gonna give you a chance." Now, mind you, I thought professional was like wearing like I at the time I was wearing like just a polo and like these big baggy jeans. I was like, I'm professional, right? And I walked in and they gave me a chance, and my manager said, unfortunately, we're gonna have to move you to another location. We're gonna move you to the slowest store of the entire company, the one that's underperforming. And what that means for me, why that's negative, is because I'm limited to how much commission I can make in sales because I'm a salesperson at that in that company. So if I go to the slowest store, I'm gonna lose out on sale making opportunities. So I said, I don't want to go to that store. I don't want to go to another location that's slow. And then they was like, it's gonna be good for you. You're gonna learn. Very similar to what you're saying, like putting yourself in the environment of it's gonna force you to grow. The reason that forced me to grow is because now I have to figure out how to create sales and make commission, right? And at that time, it's all you're doing is selling $100 phones. But that skill set of stimulating traffic into my store is still driven into me today. That's number one. Number two is that store, although it was the lowest performing store, right behind the store. So we had the storefront, right behind the store was an office space. That office space is where the CEO operated the business, the 10 locations. That's where the CEO ran payroll. Ran, handled customer complaints, had inventory. So although I'm this young guy, 17, 18 years old, I'm running the front of the store. I go to the back all the time and I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm paying payroll. I'm like, what's payroll? And he tells me. And I said, okay, cool. And then I would go there the next day. What are you doing? He's like, I'm making a payment using my credit card. I'm like, what is credit? I never heard of that. What the heck
That's
is a credit?
nice.
And then, Bank of America gave me this little debit card. What's a credit card? So let me explain to you what credit is. Okay, let me share with you the difference between business credit and personal credit. I'm like, cool. What is inventory? How does that work? Okay, what is COGS, cost of goods sold? What does that mean? And then so now I'm learning all of this that I was supposed to be essentially learning in school. I'm learning it from a real person and it, making that decision. So number one, I think number two, number three is I believe fear is a direction. So if you're looking to get a mentor, I was scared to go to that store that was the lowest performing store. It was fear that was driving. I fear that I wouldn't hit the results. What I believe is that fear is a direction. So it's FIAD, fiad. Fear is a direction. If you can understand that fear is a direction, every time that you feel this nervousness of growing, of expanding, of partnering up with somebody, that nervousness, that nervous feeling, I'm sure that you may have had it on your move to from Philippines to Australia. That nervous feeling is the direction to go. So if you're looking to get a mentor, take the next level of your life, experience fear, because that's the direction.
Yeah, and you know what they say, the physiological effects of nervousness is the same thing as being excited. So, you know, sometimes you're actually excited, but your brain, like your body's actually excited, but your brain is like, you know, we have tons of fears, you know, from also our scarcity mindset. And so sometimes our brain is trying to save us because it's just trying to make us survive. But
yeah.
Our dreams, our soul wants to expand. And so that's why we have sometimes these conflicting feelings. That's a very good point. I like that. Fear is a direction. Like, we need to be able to sit with ourselves and really get to know our fears more. Like, what is it really? What does my heart really want? What is good for me? So I really like that. You said that one of the biggest lessons you learned was to create revenue, make more money, close some sales, so you can call it many different ways. So what were the first steps that you took? You know, you're this kid, you probably, revenue is probably even a big word for you when you were 17. So how did you, what were the things that you did on a day-to-day basis? Let's keep it simple, on a day-to-day basis to make sure you took home money at the end of the day, you created revenue.
Well, first and foremost, I had to change my scarcity mindset by having a different relationship with money. Understanding that money is a tool. Mm-hmm. There's so much negativity around money where you could look greedy.
Right.
It could be drug dealers touch money, so money's bad. And there's like this myth that there's like cocaine on every single bill because of the amount of drug dealers that have touched money. So there's this stigma with money that it's bad.
Negative,
and truth
yeah.
be told, I got it in my most recent years. I've been around men who actually still to this day, grown men, 40s, 50s, who have a negative experience with money to the point where they're like, I don't want to make money. I don't want to touch money. And they literally are poverty stricken because of something that happened in their youth when it comes down to money. So I share that with you because the first thing I had to do was I had to identify my relationship with money. What am I going to look at money as? So many of my family friends would say, you're greedy. This is coming from greed, because I would declare my goals publicly. Hey, I want to make $1 million this year. Why? You only need $50,000 to live a year. Maybe you could make it on $30,000. You only need $30,000 a year to live, to just get by. Why do you need $1 million? Why do you need 100,000, six figures? That's you're going to be taking away from other people that need the rest of the money.
Ooh.
You know, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million. That's ridiculous. Why do you think like this? And so the first thing I had to do was really identify my relationship with money and how I'm making an impact. So for example, today I have some big money goals, but you know why?
Yeah.
One of the things I want to do is I want to create a school in Batangas, mm-hmm. Philippines, right? I was just there a few months ago. We fed 300 families in Taal, Batangas, Philippines. And being in that community, and I see all of the families there, the kids that are needing food, the families that are needing support. My head, I left that environment and I said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to feed 1,000. Give me 1 year, I'm going to give 1,000. And I'm not just going to feed people and give them food that's only going to last them a couple months. I'm going to come back with knowledge. So we're going to prepare flyers. We're going to prepare pamphlets. We're going to prepare a system. Now, God has blessed me with the ability and the technology to scale communication. So we're talking about creating courses and giving them the opportunity to become virtual assistants, right? So I have the whole journey set up for 1,000 families this year. And that's just our starting point. I see an opportunity to help 10,000 families. So when I think about my money goals, yes, I want a better car. Yes, I want a bigger house. Me and my wife just got one of the house of our current dreams just in the last 60 days.
We're
on 60 days in or something like that. And yes, I want a bigger house, bigger car, better experiences for my family, protection for my family, experiences that my family couldn't have gotten before. Yes, I want to be the soul, like the person that created that for sure, without a doubt. And the money's going to provide that. But I also have the dreams and the opportunity to be able to help a lot of people and give people access to information they never had. All that takes money. So my relationship with money changed. And that was my first step of identifying how I can overcome scarcity mindset is saying, hey, when you get the money, I'm talking about, like, yes, I've generated millions today, but when I had $16 in the bank, you know, when I had $16 in the bank and I'm like, okay, gas or food? Maybe if I split it, $8 gas, $8 food, you know, and then as soon as you get, you buy something for 30 cents at the convenience store, you're overdrafted. I've experienced that, right? That's real for me. I've experienced that in the last 15 years, but I'm completely far from that. And the first thing that I did was I changed my relationship with money.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, another little note there is if you grew up Christian, then there's more conversations about money being evil and like how the rich will never see the kingdom of God. I think that was in the Bible somewhere. Obviously, it was misrepresented and misinterpreted. But it's sad because like we grew up with these repetitive messages, and it's actually, I think that you and I are very lucky to have gotten out of it. I mean, we did the work, but also like to have that cognizance of like, oh, hold on, like I'm not limited to my environment. These are not my only options, and there's things I can do to get out of here. And you're right. If you translate money to something good, because money is really an amplifier of who you are, and if you're a good person and you desire good things for the world. So as a man, of course, your first step, protect and provide your family, and then protect, provide for your community. And in that journey, also you're growing your business, providing more jobs and more opportunities for other people, then it's like a ripple effect of positive things. And when you know that money can help you get there, then it actually makes you feel the opposite about a scarcity mindset. You're like, you know what? That is the enemy. Now I'm going to have like an abundance mindset. So,
for sure.
Tell us a little bit, like, how did things, people, or events change around you when you started to work on it? Did people talk negatively against it? Did they have the people close to you? Did they have initially like a negative expression towards these big goals that you now have?
Well, when you start sharing big goals, when I started sharing big goals, what I started to see was some folks, some people in my life would start to fall away. Relationship would start to dwindle.
Yeah.
And I think one of that is it makes some people uncomfortable.
Yes.
And it'll clean your house. It'll clean house. And it could start in your own house. It could be your family. It could be your parents. It could be brothers. It could be sisters. It could be wife. It could be husband, and so forth. And I think that's a terrible thing if your wife or your husband is not involved in it. Because I saw marriages that failed. Not because of religion, not because of infidelity, not because of money, but because of like vision, right? It's like, I'm good here. I'm okay here. And then the other person's like, no, I want to create this, right? Or brothers that would separate, or sisters that would separate because of that. And I know in my journey, when I grew up, I had a group of great best friends, and I had one friend who was very, I had a group of best friends when I was younger. And then I had one friend that was like my friend very young. And I would tell him my goals when we were younger. And unfortunately, we're no longer friends anymore. And we stopped being friends maybe 10 years ago. And because this is the start of my journey, right? This is the start of, I know we could do like what if we can make $100,000? And I would start taking that activity, right? And $100,000 is $8,500 a month. I mean, that's not a lot, right? $100,000 a year is $8,500. But the idea was like, what if we can be those guys that make money together? And I would try to start businesses and have that activity.
Exactly.
He would talk, I would take action. Over time, the talking doesn't do anything. But when I took action, there was results created. And so now I'm essentially a little bit further ahead, to the point where he ended up coming to work for me. He worked for me for a bit, but it was odd. It was odd to have someone that you grew up with, you know, under your payroll in that moment, right? And it was really odd to say, hey, we grew up at the same time, and now you report to me, right? And to the point where this was only one of my locations, right? So now I'm going around, I'm driving in different cars. At this time, being in that business, I ended up making enough money. I made my first million 2 years in. in that business. So I started one cell phone store. I partnered up with that with a gentleman that was my mentor. I started one cell phone store, and then it rapidly grew quickly.
Right.
And then we started making six-figure months. And so my car started to change. My lifestyle
right.
started to change. The restaurants
right.
that I ate at started to change.
Right.
I remember my right hand, me and him, weren't even 20 years old, and we're in like Las Vegas in the penthouse suites, and we're traveling as young
That's
single
awesome.
guys together. And but this, think about this, like me and my right hand who started this business together, we're traveling together, we're having all of these experiences. And then someone who I grew up with, we all went to the same high school. Me and my right hand and my old friend, we all started high school together. We went through this journey, but he's back at the location working, and his job is to sit at the store and attend customers. I assume it wasn't a good feeling for him, and I think it was
Right.
a wake-up call. So relationship starts to you start to lose relationships quickly, and you will. And Snoop Dogg said it best, even though he's a rapper. He mentioned he had a song or something, or a quote or a podcast, but he made a comment about, for you to level up, it's like a rubber band. It's like you're at the top of the rubber band and someone else is at the bottom. There's only two options. When you stretch a rubber band, let's say you put a rubber band in between your fingers, and when you stretch that rubber band, there's only two options. Your top finger that you're pushing up is either going to come down, or the bottom finger that's pulling it down is going to come up. It's either one of the two. So one of the two is going to have to give. And
Right.
what happens many times, if you are already at a natural state at the bottom, so meaning if you are already comfortable making 30 grand a year, 550 grand a year, whatever the number is, if you're already comfortable there and you have a social circle that's already making that same amount of money. And the only reason I'm using money is because it's an easy metric for everyone to understand. But money has an identifier. There's a mindset around $30,000. You're not going to tell me you're abundant making $30,000 today, and because you're going to show it by you're going to show it with proof.
Yeah.
So there's a mindset around $30,000. There's a limited experiences of $30,000. There's limits of thinking at $30,000, right? So if you're saying I want to create $100,000, in your journey to create $100,000. In that progression, you're either A, going to pursue $100,000 and be around other six-figure earners, or you're going to come down and spend time where you originally were at $30,000. And that's what ends up happening. You either progress or you regress. And
Right.
that's what ends up happening with your friends. So if you are in a situation where you're progressing your life, you're progressing your business, you have to understand this. You will eventually separate. That becomes a norm.
Yeah.
And the ideal scenario is that people will go on this journey with you. But the reality of the scenario is that you will probably separate. And it's unfortunate, but it's real.
Yeah. No, you're right. Actually, thank you for sharing, because that is a difficult thing to even talk about. Honestly, these are people that we love. These are people that we grew up with. And it's not that they're bad people, and it's not even negative if they don't want anything beyond what they want, you know, to each his own, right? But like you said, practicality wise, like when you start increasing your, I would say, net worth, then, you know, the activities you enjoy change, and the places that you go change. And then eventually there's just going to be things that are unrelatable to both of you. Yeah. You know, he will have stories that's you can't relate. You will have stories that he can't relate. And naturally, that is when, you know, you're not just going to go back to your house and watch like what Malcolm in the Middle, because that's what you used to do when you were kids. You can't stay in that timeline, right? You're going to keep doing things. You're going to grow up, and he's also going to grow up. And that may look two different ways. That may be two different things, and that's normal. I experienced the same thing, and to be honest, it still hurts me a little bit because I miss them. And then every time I would like come home, we would catch up. And I wish sometimes the feeling in my heart is sometimes I wish that these catch ups were longer, but there's just very, very little things that we bond on. And sometimes I feel guilty because we fall to not very healthy, you know, so we start drinking, or we start gossiping about this person from like 10 years ago, because I feel like that's the only way we could like bond. And it seems like I'm feeling limited in the things that I could share with them. And then I'm also trying to be sensitive about talking about my dreams and my goals. Did you feel the same way? Did you feel sensitive towards like sharing some of your goals with these old friends?
In the beginning, no. But what I started to see, there's lack of relatability. You know, like, for example, I'll give you some scenarios. One scenario is, for example, I don't clean my house for the most part. Like, I don't clean my house. I haven't really like gotten to cleaning my house since last time I, you know, did this deep scrubs or things of that nature was probably in my when I lived at home on the East Coast, like when I lived back home and I lived with my parents. When I moved on my own, I had instantly got, like, I always found myself wanting to spend time with mentors, people who would help me progress. That was because I learned that it worked well for me when I ran it to my cell phone business at, you know, 17, 18, 19, I progressed. So when I moved to California, so I left at 21 and I went from the East Coast to California. The first thing I did was I went and I searched to find the mentor. And the mentors that I spent time with, they're telling me like, hey, get cleaners to clean your house. Hire
Yeah.
that out, right? Hire cleaners to clean your house. It was when I was in the Philippines recently when I had a driver and I said, oh, I can do a lot more with a driver, right? So
Yeah,
now
exactly.
I'm considering like what that would look like. But in this scenario, I remember when I hired someone to clean my house and they were cleaning my house and my mentor is telling me like, hey, that's the process. You hire somebody to do it for you. And then so that way you can focus on income producing activities, things that will allow you to progress much faster. So that way you can grow and elevate and so on and so forth. Then I went back to the East Coast and I explained this to a family member. I said, yeah, you know, I had the cleaner come. I'm in LA now and I had the cleaner come. And they said, cleaner? What?
You
Cleaner?
bougie.
And it was an eye-opening moment for me because I was like, why are you tripping? Like, I've spent the last year and a half, 2 years in Los Angeles, and why are you bringing this up to my attention like as if it's a bad thing? It's like, you could do it yourself. You could do it yourself and save that money. How much did you pay? And I told him how much I paid, and he's like, you could do it yourself. And I said, you know what? I could do it myself. When I started doing it myself, my income started going down. My income started going down. It's an interesting phenomenon. So another mentor told me like, you got to hire the cleaner. So I went back and I hired the cleaner to come clean my house. Right. Because it's more than just cleaning. It's more than the act of cleaning. It's also the, where else in your life are you operating inefficiently? And that's when your income starts to go down. Where else in your life are you spending time on activities that doesn't add value to your net worth, as you said? So my eye-opening moment was living in downtown LA and I had the cleaner cleaning my house and I paid her, I don't know, $100 something. And at the time I was on a Zoom call and I closed the sale. It was like $10,000 for that sale. And I remember turning, looking at her and I said, oh, whoa, this is what my coach, my mentors were saying. I
Wow.
paid, let's
You
say
had that moment.
$200 to have someone clean my house, but I just made $10,000. So that was a net positive. If I was the one cleaning, I would have not made that $10,000. And it goes on and on and on. I remember actually when I was on the East Coast, my first delegation was laundry. I got laundry off my plate. There was a gentleman who owned a laundromat and I was 20 years old and I would drop off my laundry. I don't think I've actually focused on like me doing laundry on my own since I was 18, 19 years old. So when I was 20 years old, I was dropping off my laundry every week to this gentleman and he would clean, fold, wash, dry, fold, and I would pick it up. Why? Because I was running a business at the time. There's no way I could have done the laundry.
Yeah.
What I share that with you is like, these are the practical steps. So
yeah.
your family may tell you, hey, look, you got to do your own laundry. It's going to save you time. I mean, it's going to save you money if you do it yourself.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you got to cook your own food. And on top of that, you got to clean the house. And on top of that, you got to do all. And then, so once you do all of these activities yourself, when do you have time to generate revenue, to create money?
That's right.
When do you have time to do that? And if you don't, then that's when you become in a poverty-stricken environment.
Yeah, no, that's right. I totally agree with you. I actually recently wrote about this, about your first hires in the house. I think it should definitely be a cleaner because you're right. It's how much does a cleaner cost in the States? Maybe at the very least, $35 an hour, at the very least. If you're just hiring like a neighbor, or it's kind of more just like you're just helping someone out, yeah, maybe you'll pay $35 an hour. If you pay a company, then of course it's a bit more. And but the headspace that you get from getting that out of your day schedule, and most of all, having a clean and organized house, it's just different. It's different for your mindset. And so I wrote about that. And also for your business, I think that the first delegation hire should be a chief of staff or someone that is working with you closely, kind of like your right hand, which seems like you've also practiced. So I love hearing stories like this because being in the outsourcing business, we have over 100 virtual assistants, project managers, client success managers. Sometimes entrepreneurs jump into these roles that they think will help them, where it doesn't actually, it takes out some tasks, but it doesn't help in the mindset of the business owner. So I'm really happy you shared that. So what pitfalls or mistakes do entrepreneurs usually make when starting their journey in shifting from a scarcity mindset? Are there any kind of famous sayings out there that you think is BS or a mistake that people usually make when they're starting to break out of a scarcity mindset?
Not investing the money that they get.
Not
That,
investing money that they get. Yeah. Tell me more
yeah.
about that.
There's a proverb. I use it so often. I gotta find the actual proverb itself. But it's about like the three king who goes to the king who goes to the three men and says, "Hey, I'm gonna be on vacation. I'm gonna be out of town," or whatever the scenario is, and he gives a different amount of money to each one, and then one of them says, "Okay, I don't know the exact situation, so I'm gonna rephrase it." But one person says, "Hey, you gave me $100 or 100 pieces of silver. I went and I invested it, and I doubled it, and now it's 200. Good job." And then the king's like, "Good job." And then there's another one that's like, "You gave me $100 worth of silver. I took that $100 worth of silver. I reinvested it. Now I have $500 worth of silver for you. So I gave it to you." And then there was another person who's like, the king said, "You gave me $100 worth of silver. I got scared. I didn't do anything with it. So I buried it and I just waited for it. I got it right here for you. It's right here." And he said, "So you didn't grow the money? No. All right, I'm gonna take it from you and I'm gonna give it to the other men who invested it." And then he divided it to the other men, and those other men got more silver to reinvest and have it grow. And this person is poverty stricken. Now, so these three men had the same amount of silver come in this scenario. Two of them invested it. One, grew it larger. The second one grew it, okay, doubled it essentially. And the other one hit it, and then it got taken away from him. And what I realized is that you got to invest your money. And I didn't know this. I didn't know that in my journey. So I made so much money and I would just save it. So in 2018, 2000, 2017, I made so much money for myself that I didn't look at it. I didn't know how much money I actually had in the bank. It was just, and I was scared that I was going to lose it. So what I did, I did not invest it, and I spent it, right?
Oof.
1,000 here, 500 there. So I retired for 18 months. So between when I left the cell phone industry in 2016 to 2018, essentially, the middle of 2017, for 18 months, I retired. So 2016 to 2017, I lived in high-rise houses and spent Los Angeles type of money, traveled all across the country very frequently. There was nights that I would be in Miami, for example, and I would say I missed my bed, and I would take a flight that night to LA, because it's a 5-hour trip to LA, sleep in my bed for a night, and then take a flight back the next day back to Miami. Like,
That's
this is some
funny.
ridiculous stuff that this a young 21-year-old is doing.
Yeah.
And because should have just got a hotel room, right? But this is the stuff that I was doing, and then a year and a half later, I end up not having any money, and I didn't even have $1,500 to pay rent, one month in 2017, and that's when it opened my eyes. I gotta pay attention to my money every single day. So like today, I have different practices. Like every morning, I look at my money. I have accountants that manage my money on a weekly basis to understand if my am I growing or am I going negative, right? If I lose $1, I know exactly what happened. Those are the experiences that I have today in my business. So the reason why that I am constantly progressing. My net worth, my wife and I's net worth is constantly growing today because I look at it every single day. And if I go a dollar up, I know exactly why. I'm going to do that practice again to make sure that I grow. If I lose a dollar, then I'm going to know why, and I never do it again. However, it's never to a point where it's detrimental because I'm always looking at the money. I'm always looking at how things are moving. So I lose a dollar. What happened in my business that I lost a dollar? Just $1.
Right.
You know, and then what happened in my business that helped me grow? So number two is going to be, you got to invest your money so that way you always grow and never put yourself in a position to lose money.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And because there is a difference between active income, right, and passive income. And as we grow older, I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, our energy when you and I were like 19, 17, it's different. I remember I kept a poker career before. I would play poker at night and I would go to work in the morning. I would sleep for 3 hours and there was no problem. We had way more energy. But as we grow older, our priorities change. You know, when you have kids, you have like a spouse, you want to do different things. You don't want to be working all the time. So it's really important. And I totally agree with you about having passive income, having investments that are safe and that are just growing without you having to do anything. Really, you can put in the market, put in real estate. There's a lot of really, really safe, you know, bonds. There's a lot of really, really safe investments out there. So try not to our listeners, like try not to be enamored by any promises of passive income that are super unrealistic. Anyone that promises you over, say, 8 to 10% a year, that would be oof. I would feel a little bit of red flag. And I've been there. I've made some stupid investments, and I've talked about some of it actually on this podcast. You got to find that episode where I got scammed by a friend of mine. So try to learn some lessons. Okay. Well, aside from, you know, making good money, investing, having passive income, I'm sure that one of the things that also is top of your list, Andy, is creating the same opportunities for business owners out there, especially small business owners. And I think that's why you created your company, Progreta. I'm really curious about this. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also curious, not only because I know personally that it's a good tool, but also because it comes from a place of really wanting more for other small business owners as well. So tell us a little bit about your company. What inspired you to do it? And how do you help small business owners in making more money and creating more revenue for their business?
Well, Progreta is a tool to help small business owners streamline, get organized, get customers, and get paid. So our software is a CRM that will allow our users to be able to set up sales appointments, create their marketing funnels, email marketing campaigns, post on social media, and organize their business. Now, the reason that I partnered with a company to create Progreta in the first place is because the biggest challenge for any small business is organization. Hey Siri, remind me to email Bob tomorrow, right? Those activities keep people small. When you got to write sticky notes. I remember years ago, like today, I have a legal pad, right? The notepad in my hand. And I would write to-dos, and I would write, don't forget to call John, you know, who's interested in our service, right? On our product. Or yeah. Don't forget to call Tim. Oh, I got to send you an invoice. Wait for me to get home. The amount of people who operate their business inefficiently with Andy, unfortunately, my team and my company, we move very quickly. We move very fast. And I like it that way. I love speed. Speed is what creates value for our customers. It's kind of like, and creates convenience. It's kind of like McDonald's. No one wants to order a McDonald's burger and wait 2 days, right? Mm-hmm. You want speed, and our clients want speed. So our team has this tendency to move quickly. So when we communicate with vendors, and a vendor says, "Hey, I'm currently at an event right now. Let me send you the invoice. It'll take me 2 days to send you the invoice." Within that 2 day time frame, my assistant has already found another vendor and already received the invoice and paid that invoice and signed the contract and is on an onboarding call with the other vendor while you're preparing your invoice.
Yeah.
So some of the features that our tool Progreta has, for example, is text to pay. So if you're on a call with somebody and the person says, "I'm interested, I want to sign up," they can put their phone on speaker, go into our mobile app, the Progreta mobile app, create an invoice, send it to that person right from their phone, and say, Mr. John, the invoice has been sent to your phone. Can you open up your phone? And I sent you a text message. Click that link and just double tap and make the payment via Apple Pay. It'll take you less than 22 seconds. And then, so that type of speed is what creates value for your customers, but also what allows you to make more money and put more money in the bank. So it's those activities. You got to have email marketing. You got to have text message marketing. You got to have a website that captures the name, email, and phone number of your potential customer. Otherwise, they're going to leave you. So yeah. We created Progreta to help small businesses organize their business and make it easier for them to get payment.
Yeah, no, I love that. This is, that's very, I totally resonate with that. And that's very convenient because I always say also in my outsourcing company, like how much money do people really leave on the table because of this someone that they forgot to follow up with, something that they didn't send. Maybe you sent the contract, you sent the invoice, the client had a question and you weren't able to see the message right away. So it's always good to have number one, like your systems in place, a software just like Progreta. By the way, for anyone who's curious, I'm going to share a special link on the show notes where you can click that. And only especially for my listeners, you guys will get a 14-day, two-week free trial, totally on the house. Try Progreta out, really see what it looks like. Tell your friends about it. Train your team on this. And I will actually also do the same, Andy, because now I'm curious. And because I totally believe that money loves speed, and only the people who are out there and who are doing the extra work and doing the extra work to make things faster, to make things more convenient, that's what wins. Anyone can make a better burger than McDonald's. Obviously,
yeah.
You and I
yeah.
can make a better burger than McDonald's, but
for
you
sure.
And I cannot, unfortunately, make a better system than McDonald's that can get your burgers ready in like 3 or 4 seconds. So money and speed go hand in hand. I love that. And what is really heartwarming for me, Andy, is you make it super affordable and easy for these small business owners to achieve a McDonald's level of efficiency in their businesses. And now this software is available for John, who owns a plumbing business, and
yes.
Mary, who owns a cleaning company, and someone who does my lash extensions, right? So, got to pick up that money, got to pick up that sales. I love that. And this, I love how this all ties together to, if you want something more for yourself, if you want to break out of your scarcity mindset, you don't only have to have the right mindset, but you have to have the right tools. So thank you so much, Andy, for joining us. Any last words and advice for our entrepreneurs and our aspiring entrepreneurs who are listening today on what you could leave them with, what they can do today to start their journey in changing their scarcity mindset?
First thing today is I want you to envision a life with more money. Envision what you would do with more money. I think people wait too late. Like if I ask you, all right, if I give you $1 million, what are you going to do with it? Right. And if you don't have an answer, then why would you need $1 million if you don't have an answer? Right. If you're going to go
Ooh.
Buy a car, if you're like, well, I'm going to go buy a car, I'm going to go buy some more cars and buy a house. Well, then it's okay. You don't need the money. Right. But if you're saying, hey, with $1 million, man, I'm going to feed this many people. I'm going to hire this many people. I'm going to give people jobs who are going to then help that $1 million grow. Then it makes sense. And I believe that's how it works, is if you want more money, the starting point is to visualize what you're going to do with the money and how you're going to help it grow and start getting educated on that. So like when I invested into my business, one of the first things that I got was a proper CRM. Why? Because I already had the intention that I was going to grow and have customers. So I set up my CRM so long ago because I already knew that I'm going to have customers. Even though there was nobody in the end when I first logged in,
right.
I set up the decoration that I was going to have customers. I don't wait until it becomes a problem. I prepare now that way that I grow over time. So that's the first thing that you want to do. The second thing that you want to do is you want to take action quickly. Like Carla just gave you an opportunity to get Progreta. That's going to help you streamline your business and set up your system to get paid. Even if you don't have a product today, you don't have a customer today, the fact that you can set up a link to get paid, for example, and send the invoice right away from your phone, that will allow you that once the opportunity presents itself, as soon
yes,
as you get your first
exactly.
customer, you're going to say, well, I have the link right here. And it could be your first customer. Well, I have your link right here. Make your payment. Visa, MasterCard, American Express, or Discover. Let's get you started today. And you take payment right away. That opportunity is going to present itself. And when it presents itself, you want to be ready. So number one is dream about it dream build, my mentor, one of my mentors called it dream build. Number two is prepare the bucket. When I say prepare the bucket, it's kind of like getting water from the kitchen sink.
I love
Do you
that.
Turn on the faucet first and then go find the bucket to go fill up the bucket? No, you get the bucket first, you put it under the sink, and then you turn on the water. That's how you fill up a bucket. So what you're going to do is you're going to get the bucket first, which is the software, and then go ahead and get more customers and start your, you know, customer journey.
Exactly. Plus, you get a head start. So all of the listeners of this podcast, all of you guys get a 14-day, well, that's 2 weeks, a free trial. So you can make things work, guys. Like, give yourself 14 days to make a sale, make that first sale. It's almost impossible. If you got your offer in place, you got a few friends who believe in you, you're always out there talking to people, you're going to meet someone who's going to buy. Your solution is going to believe in you. And all you really need to do is, as Andy said, prepare the bucket. So thank you so much, Andy. This has been an awesome conversation. It was nice to really catch up and talk about, you know, your history. You and I relate a lot. And I know a lot of people are super inspired by your story and want to learn more about you and follow your journey. Tell us where to find you on social media and so that people can follow you and they can be more inspired by how you live your life and run your business.
To find me online, you can find me anywhere, Andy Audate. That's AndyAudate. Just Google my name on Instagram. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, the whole nine yards. Andy Audate. And Progreda is spelled Progreda. That's Progreda.
Yeah. So definitely check Progreda out. I'm also going to drop a link on the show notes so that you guys don't have to look for it. Thank you so much, Andy. This has been awesome. And yeah, I'll see you around. Thank you so much for sharing your story with our community.
Carla, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.